Okay. I'm going to call the Candia Planning Board meeting of April 21st, 2021 in session at 7 p.m. Would you all rise and join me in pledge allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have, let's see, we'll do the roll call. Just got to put down names. Let's see. Rudy, here. Mark?
Here.
Ryan?
Here.
Josh?
Here.
And Judy is excused. Joyce is excused. Scott?
MRI.
Is MIA.
Yeah, missing an action. Yeah. Okay. MIA, sorry.
And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, and Rob?
Here.
And Rob, I'll have you, for the record, be filling in for Judy.
You bet.
All right, let's see, the new business, there isn't any new business this meeting. And old business, the only thing we under old business is the approval of the minutes. From our last meeting, April 7th. As you noticed, there was a little bit of a difference in the format that we had, and that's because Lisa was out for a while, and Casey had put the minutes together just so we would get something out there, and I hope everybody had a chance to review them.
I have to abstain, so all four of you have had to have been at the meeting to pass it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Any questions or corrections that anybody could see?
Not that I can see, Rudy. It looks good. She did a nice job.
Yeah, I think she did fine. She said there was a couple places in there that she wasn't quite sure of who the person was speaking, but I believe when I read it through that she got pretty darn close to it. And I think the only thing is that on page 5, in the paragraph after Rob was speaking in the second one, mm-hmm. changed the name of Brian Ruoff to R-O-U, what is it, R-O-U-F-F?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that in the middle?
Yeah, right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right there,
Brian.
Just send a note to
okay,
Lisa.
Okay, yeah.
Brian
yeah.
Other than that, I don't think I saw anything that jumped out at me. I read it.
Okay. Make a motion to accept the minute that's presented with that one correction.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
All right, Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Josh is abstaining?
Abstain.
Okay. And Rob?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a quorum, so we're all set on that. Next item on the agenda is other business. For town planning, I will defer to that because we're going to do the ZRRC after we get through this stuff.
So any issues with that, you want to bring it up after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can bring that up. Unless you have something in particular
that's fine.
Only thing I have is I still haven't been able to corral everybody together to go over the GIS thing that we wanted to kind of take a look at.
Yeah.
And the other thing is Rob had sent the innovative housing thing out from... who did that, Rob? Was it the Housing Authority or was it... Office of State Initiative,
a
strategic initiative.
Let me take a quick look. Hold on. It was from Planning Resources documents. Innovative land use plan. It doesn't.
I thought it said on the bottom.
I'm not sure I know exactly who published it. It was one of the documents that comes through that whole OSI group that we always get invited to all the different seminars.
Right,
it's
yep.
specific to innovative land use planning techniques, and it's called a Handbook for Sustainable Development.
Right. So I think on that, if everybody can go through that, I think it's going to be important for us to be very familiar with that so we can come up with something that's going to be similar to the over 55 housing plan that we did. I think that would be a good suggestion that Rob had, that we could probably mirror image that almost. I think the hardest part is going to be is to make sure that we can, well, not find a developer to do it, but make it so that when a developer does come in and wants to take advantage of it, is that we have some good solid backing and background to make sure that these houses are going to have affordability aspects to them too. So, and I think the documentation was pretty good on that.
Yeah, and Rudy, it's been a couple of weeks. Obviously, I think since I probably looked at it again, I need to refresh myself, but I think it gives some good examples in there as well.
You yeah.
know, we all know when the some of the Four Corners stuff was being voted on, there was a lot of complete misinformation put out there, right? So affordable housing and developments such as this can be very aesthetically pleasing, right? It can fit into the rural nature that we want in Candia, no different than I think what we've requested or asked from some of the 55 and olders. But this gives an opportunity for maybe a younger family to come in and actually, afford a house where they can get started in a town like Candia.
Right. And I think part of it's going to be is determining on what affordability is. And I think we'll be, not that I want to get into any detail on it and stuff, but we'll be looking for some information from various people. Like,
I think we lost you guys.
Oh,
coming back.
Hold on. This is really bent.
Oh.
I think the owl fell and bent the connection.
It's not.
We can hear you, Lisa, but we couldn't hear everyone else.
Okay.
That's because she's.
It looked like it was working fine before. We could see everyone. Now it's gone
yeah,
back. It looks
the
like
speaker is not working for some reason. I don't know what
it's
happened.
It's your default changed. Default speaker.
I can do anything to it. It's just not working. And like I said, this was like bent down.
Oh, let me see.
Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to get everything up.
That's okay. I mean, we don't necessarily need to see you as long as we can hear you. Well, it looks like it's rebooting.
Yeah, usually, though.
There we go.
See how it's coming through the speaker of the computer, though, and not
it?
Through the owl?
Okay. So it's not coming.
It's not coming through the owl.
But wait. Don't touch it.
I'm just putting it over here so you guys can see.
Can you guys hear okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Okay. I'll just make sure to keep the volume up on the computer.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay.
Okay.
All right, good.
So, yeah, there'll be a bunch of things we'll have to do with that to figure out what affordability is. I did notice when I read through it is that you can do the housing affordability based on either like county or municipal or metropolitan area. Well, if we use Rockingham County, there's a lot of people that make a lot of money in Rockingham County, so you can afford big houses. But if you take it into like the Manchester metropolitan area, it cuts it back down, and I think we're closer to that Manchester one than we are to really the average in Rockingham County, because you've got Rye, Newcastle, and
right.
Yeah, we're half an hour from them. We're 10 minutes from Manchester.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things we'll have to look at, because there has been some talk, I will say, in the past about the fact that we don't need to have any houses that are under $350,000, because, you know, we're in that area where affordable housing is based on the income of the county. And, you know, obviously we're right on the border of the county, so not in a really high area. So there'll be a lot to do in that, so we'll be looking for information. And we can probably utilize Southern New Hampshire for some of it too, but I think we'll probably wind up using a lot of our internal stuff first to make sure that we can develop something, and if we run into roadblocks, then get people to help. The other thing that I wanted to bring up that I had on here a couple years ago is back in 2009, yeah,
In 2009, Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission did a cost of community services study for Candia. I'll send what I have out and we can make a determination if you think that that'd be a good idea to update, seeing that that was done in 2009, and we can get a really good idea of what the cost for community services is, because I think that's one of the things that have come up in the last year, is that people are saying, well, you should have impact fees, and you know, we will have to build this or whatever, and what we're finding out is that our cost of community services is probably in better shape than some of the other towns are. So if we had some good accurate data in here, I think it would be beneficial for us for anything that we wanted to do moving forward. So again, something is food for thought. Okay. Anything else on town planning for right now?
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know if you want me to wait or just a brief up to date on the safety facility.
Oh yeah, no, go ahead. That'd be a good one.
We did meet last night. It was a short meeting. Basically, we're looking at one piece of property now, piece that Severino's owned. And with both parcels that abut each other, it's a little over 8 acres.
Oh, nice.
So it's a much more attractive spot. And it's just past the Viking property, abuts them. So it's in the location we're looking for. And the next step, we're having a public hearing, the Board of Selectmen is on Monday, to allow us to expend some of that money that was put aside in that capital fund for future capital expenses. So we can do an appraisal on that piece of property, and the Severinos are interested in primarily a land swap. So some land that the town already owns, swapping for that. So this would give us a baseline of the value, and we can move from there. So,
Brian, is that east or west of the Viking property?
East.
East, okay.
Yeah, it's that next parcel that's got that kind of rundown white house there.
Oh, yeah, that was Falls?
Yeah.
Pittman's. I mean, not Pittman's, Purinton.
Purinton, yeah.
Yeah, so it's right there.
The courthouse, right?
So it's very near the courthouse, yeah.
Yeah.
Two parcels from the courthouse here, but
very nice location.
But it's a great location. It's right where we kind of want to be.
Yeah.
So
good.
And the only other thing I had is we're also going to have a public hearing on that same night for possibly selling two pieces up on Donovan Road, because I have to have two public hearings, and the planning board has to also weigh in on that. So once we have the public hearing, I'm not exactly sure, but I think then the process goes to the planning board, just again, just to no real decisions other than be able to review it and address any issues that the planning board might have in possibly selling those. Conservation has already weighed in on both those parcels. Their major concern is they would like to see both those parcels in a conservation easement.
Yeah.
That's their only suggestion. Right, currently they're not now, but that's what they would like to see. One is a little over 10 acres and one is just over 4 acres. So the two separate parcels there at the end of Donovan Road off of 27, right down near the old railroad bed. So it's on the part of Donovan Road that's discontinued, and it butts Blevins' property, and he's the property owner that's interested in purchasing it.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll have that hearing Monday, and then hopefully we can schedule the planning board just to review it and then go back for another. Now, I don't know if that constitutes as the second public hearing or if it goes back to the select board for the second public hearing. I'm not positive on that.
I wouldn't think that the planning board would have a public hearing on it.
Not where you're not weighing in on any decisions.
Right,
it's basically just a courtesy to look at it and have some suggestions. Basically, just like Class 6 Road.
Yeah.
You know, it looks okay, but we'd like to see this, that, and the other.
Right, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that will be coming up.
Good. All right. Woos, any idea what he wants to do with it? He just wants to have more land.
He just wants to be able to access his other piece of property. It's right in between two of his parcels.
Oh.
So right now he has to go across it to get to his other property.
Okay. Yep.
That makes sense.
So that's the purpose, what initiated it.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, because that's a class 6 road.
Yep.
That he's on.
But, well, no, it's class 5 for him.
For him.
But yeah. Then after that, I think it's class 6, and I think it's discontinued.
Okay.
I don't think it's...
You'd have to check. I think that's still that whole Donovan Road thing.
We have a sheet, I think, that shows when they were legally discontinued and what have you, but...
Right.
I have that in my office.
Yeah,
You have one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That probably wouldn't be a bad thing for us to have in our folders when these things come up.
Okay.
Just so we can... Because some of them is, unless you're in it all the time, you don't know.
Absolutely.
If it's discontinued or not.
Dennis knew him, but.
Right.
Fortunately, we've got it written down now.
Yeah, I got it from him, and then the discontinued list from Chris.
From Christine, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the most updated thing that I have.
Right.
I can give to you guys.
Okay. All right, good. Anything else on
No,
that?
I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks. Now, the next one on here is Tanglewood, which is the former Crowley Woods project. As you know, they did submit an application last Thursday?
14th.
The 14th. So we have to act on the application within 30 days. So the public hearing will be... We have to do the application at a public hearing, too, not just the...
To review, yeah.
Yeah,
to accept it
or not accept it.
Okay.
Which we did before. So that's going to be May 19th, but we'll do it at the CYA building because I'm sure there's going to be a reasonable amount of interest again.
Was that the first time around? Because I wasn't on the boards then.
We had over 100 people who wanted to test.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because the reason that I even bring that up is I have... This is my notes for Crowley Woods.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Just wait for it.
This is everything that I've kept on Crowley Wood from the time that it came up until now. I talked to Lisa this week, and I hate to say this, but I think that everybody ought to have a complete set of these notes because... It gives a history, and the last time we got anything from them was November of 2017. So there are people who I know that weren't on the board back then, who weren't involved with it, and I'd rather that everybody had a chance to go through this stuff because the more background information we have, the easier it's going to be to wade through all of the stuff that's going in there.
Because Dennis and I did go over there with the developers and walk that whole Crowley Road.
And I wasn't
happy about walking the whole Crowley Road, but we did.
But see, that's the things that I want to have in here too, because there are some notes from, I believe, some Stantec that were on that too. So that's all in
Brian
here.
Brian was with us too. Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of information, background information on this particular one that would help a lot for board members to do that. So,
in your recollection of this back when it originally started, the only issues that Candy had was going to be the impact of all the traffic and what it was going to do to the Crowley Road and actually even the state roads coming out of there.
Right.
Right? Was that pretty much a quick summary of...
Basically, that was it. That everything that was in the subdivision itself seemed to be,
because it was Chester.
It's Chester, yeah. The biggest problem is, and I was just talking to Lisa about this before we had the meeting, is that the reason that they have to come in for a major subdivision is because it is a subdivision of regional impact.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know all about the subdivision.
Correct.
And how it's going to affect us in Candia.
Right.
So what our function is that we need to minimize the impact to the town of Candia.
Plus, Chester made that a condition too, didn't they?
They did. That Candia has to approve this.
Correct.
As one of the conditions of Chester. That's correct, right, Rob? I think that you were at that meeting, or was that when we got the notice of decision that they said that it was going to depend
Scott,
on Candia?
Scott and I both attended that, and I think they, most of the direction, I'd have to look back through my complete summary notes, but I think the direction that Chester was giving the developer is that we can't do anything here until, you know, you actually bring this back to Candia. And at the time, they were saying, oh, yeah, we're doing that. And that's when I think we came back to Lisa and or yourself, Rudy, and said, have we heard anything from them?
Right.
And the comment was, we haven't heard from them since the last time they were here.
Right.
So.
Right. And I actually have your notes in here, Rob, somewhere.
Yeah, you sent an email to all of us, too, about it.
Yeah. So I think I put that.
Really good summary.
It was an excellent summary. Pretty sure that was in there. If it's not, we'll make sure that we get it back in there. But so I'm going to, unless there's an objection, I'm going to have Lisa do copies of these for everybody so that they can go through them. we talked about it, and it's like, I'm going
to. She didn't jump for joy, I'm sure.
Well,
I don't want to make packets and not have the board actually be reading through everything.
Right.
Should we move forward with new stuff, or, you know, and that was up to you guys, how you want to do it.
Go ahead, Al.
I will pay for the copies if it comes to that.
Well, thank you. That's...
Having been involved with them, you all need to read every word there.
Yeah.
Now, Dick Snow, he was involved, but I think
too. And that just reminded me, too, Al, we need to make sure that Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission redoes what their review was before, because I had a lot of stuff in here that when Sylvia was the head of Southern New Hampshire Planning.
Yeah. I could copy for them. I'll get it to them next week.
Okay. All right. So we'll do that. Josh, go ahead.
So what are your thoughts? We print these out soon, like way sooner than the actual public hearing, so that we can all read them?
Oh, absolutely. I'd want to have them done next week. As soon as we can, so that you get a chance to go through it, because, you know, literally it's a 1-inch thick three ring binder of stuff.
In 3 weeks, right, roughly.
The 19th will be the meeting. I'll be sending out an email tomorrow. I had to talk with Eric today and Rudy about the application, but I'll be sending out a meeting notice to you guys saying we're going to have the preliminary checklist meeting next week, Monday, yep. Tuesday, or Wednesday at 1:00. So we need a couple of people that can be here for that.
Thursday, I can make it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm working.
Well, actually, I could do Thursday. I can do, okay. My schedule changed this week. I'm going up to do some work in Maine tomorrow and Friday of this week instead of Thursday and Friday next week. So, but we do need to go through the checklist just to make sure that everything is there.
Yep.
Pretty comfortable that it's going to be there, but we need to go through it to make sure.
Yeah. And there's one section that was left out from the old application that they had filled out. They had a 2000 application. I'm not sure. I think it was just on Eric's computer. So I gave him the updated application. But there is a section in there that wasn't in that one that they didn't check off for the plans.
Right.
So when he comes in, I'm going to have him, you know, go through and do that, so everything will be ready for him. So.
So yes, if at least two of us are there, that'll work. If someone else wants to be there, if we have another person, that's fine. We just can't have more than three.
Do you want me then to just do the scheduling for Thursday at 1 and send that to Eric and see if he could be available for that?
Yeah, I think that would I think that would work. Like I said, let's see. Yeah, I can do Thursday at 1.
And that's good for you too, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
All right, so I'll do that. I'll have Lisa put this stuff together and get it out to everybody, or stop in and pick it up. Probably be the best. And we can go from there. So there is...
Just give mine to Linda and have her put it in my mailbox. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there are minutes from the meetings that were in there, and there is a very extensive write-up on the meeting that we had on December 20th of 2017, which was their last public hearing that they came in, which is a preliminary major subdivision application. So that'll give you a pretty good idea of what was discussed up till that point, and we didn't have anybody who spoke because we didn't accept the application. So we didn't have a public hearing on it. But there was the list of people who wanted to go there is in here too.
Wow.
Were you, when I talked to Eric today? 50
in here. And there was some more somewhere too. So, but there was a bunch of other people that wanted
to. Was this second application that they filled out, Lisa, similar to the original one or no?
It's similar. It just has a new section as well added on to it that when we revised everything in 2019.
Addressing some of the concerns that the board had back then?
Yeah, so there's an extra section that's in there that they have to go through. But when I spoke with the engineer, Eric Mitchell, today, he said that the client is under the impression that they were denied their application from the board. Not that it was incomplete, which is what I was told when I first started. I had to come back with it. So, just an FYI.
Well, it should have been a decision that was in the meeting minutes, correct?
Yep. And let me just check to see.
Yeah, if I want to highlight it, if you find it.
But yeah, I can do that real quick. So. We never took a vote on it. That I can see.
Because it was incomplete.
Right.
It wasn't ready.
Right, so it was, let's see. Oh yeah, because the last part was in here that Carlton said, I think our next step is to ask the applicant to complete his final plans and submit them when he's ready within 90 days of acceptance of the application, which is this evening. I think that the motion to this board needs to make at this time. And once Mr. Mitchell submits his plans, the board needs to make them. I'm just reading real quick here. Discussion ensued about whether there needed to be a motion. Carlton Roby said, if we're satisfied with our preliminary meeting this evening, we'll draft a letter and send it to you with our concerns as we discussed this evening, just like the last meeting. You had a letter with all of our concerns that went to your office. You will get a letter from us and move forward from there. Eric Mitchell confirmed, and we will proceed to submit final plans within 90 days. And he didn't.
They didn't, right.
But there wasn't, it doesn't look like there was a motion made. That it was still incomplete, I think.
Those were the notes I got from Andrea when she left.
Yeah. Let me just check real quick in here. Beginning. Hold on. Okay, so continuation of the preliminary major subdivision application was done, and let's see, then there were some notes that were in here. So our card continued, those are the five items that were needed, were incomplete at the time. They have been addressed by the applicant, and as I said before, I feel that they have addressed those items, and the application can be deemed complete if the board so determines. And then, so let me see. I made a motion to accept the application, the preliminary major subdivision application, as complete.
But not the final.
And not the final.
Right.
Right. So it was only the preliminary.
And when they brought in their application last week, they skipped the whole first part of the preliminary and just gave us the final. And because it's been over a year, they have to do the whole application again. So I had to contact Eric and have him do that.
Yeah.
So we're working on it.
So yes, we'll have to do the application. The checklist is in here that we used too for what was in there, as well as what the deficiencies were that they needed to address.
So, do we actually have something to review right now?
Yes.
Because they're still completing the first part of it?
No, I just got everything. I just have to have them fill out one extra section in the application because they had an old application that they provided to us. So when I was reviewing this week, I noticed that they, you know, had a 20-year-old application, pretty much, so.
Okay, so technically the clock's not ticking on it yet, right?
It is.
It is.
Because we were, yeah, they brought it in.
Because they've submitted it, right?
Yeah, they submitted it at the end of the week, last week. And this Monday was our deadline for it, so they did get it in on time. I just want them to do the update for you guys so that they have everything that's required on there.
Right, we have 30 days to act on the application to either accept it or not accept it.
As far as plans go, they're in my office and you guys are welcome to come into the office to review anything.
Yeah.
They haven't changed.
As a quick question, did they get updated letters from the police chief and the fire chief on that?
No, they didn't. And they said that they had requested those and that they, in their summary, that they had responded to them. But I looked at them and they're the ones from 2017.
Okay.
So I'll send out, usually the applicant has to do it, but I'll send something out to the chiefs, having them, you know, reassess everything.
Yeah.
So. But should we be sending something out, or should we make the applicant send it out?
Oh, the applicant needs
to send
it out.
We should make the applicant send it out.
Yeah, it's part of it. Yep. I do it as an email, just so that I can make sure I get it as well. But.
Yeah, because if we look at it right now, we would consider that to be incomplete because the letters are almost 4 years old. So it'd be a deficiency that they'd have to address before the planning board meeting. Either way, it is their responsibility, but sometimes people need to be prodded along because the request has been made, but the response hasn't come back yet.
Right. So. And they were under the impression that everything from 2017 was still standing. So that's what they were working with. So like I said, I've been working with Eric Mitchell and trying to get everything updated so you guys have everything that you're gonna need.
Right.
Moving forward.
It doesn't hurt to reach out a little bit and help.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. That way we have it.
Yeah.
So it's good.
All right, so I'll give this to Lisa. You know, I
see, thanks, Rudy.
Just as kind of like an offshoot. I'm on the Air Resources Council, and you know the whole problem that they've had down in Merrimack with the
water
PFAS stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. PFCs.
I got heavily involved with that because they have a permit from Air Resources Division, and the town of Merrimack decided that they wanted it revoked because of all of the problems that have been going on down there. So there's been an ongoing back and forth with a lot of discovery and things like that, because it's basically a legal issue. I got the documentation on it that I had to read for the hearing that was going to be held 3 weeks ago, and it filled one of those white boxes over.
Oh my God.
With the documentation that I had to go through. And then they came up with an agreement, and the hearing was canceled.
After you visit their home.
Yeah. So, oh, this is not bad.
No, not if you consider that, yeah.
But anyways, this is an aside. It's like, just sometimes, you have to do that just to get your good background and figure out what's going on. So. All right. Any questions on that, on Tanglewood? Rob, you wanted to, was there some issues you wanted to discuss on logistics for that?
Yeah, so, you know, normally we've got a guy like Clark, right, as the town moderator, who kind of coordinates whenever there's a town, you know, deliberative session or the elections or anything going on, because, you know, in all honesty, we're really nothing more than the building. You know, we do have some chairs over there. But normally someone coordinates with Steve Abelson to come over with chairs from the school that are a little bit nicer, right? So he sets them up. We'll set them up in some kind of social distance fashion or whatever, kind of spread them out on the turf. You know, we will need tables to be brought over if we're going to have tables for, you know, the board to sit at up front and so forth. And then, you know, I'm not too sure. I just want to make sure I'm clear on what the expectations are as far as, you know, broadcasting a live stream. I'm confident we can still do that with, you know, with some of the Nest cams and stuff we have over there. I just want to make sure that we're prepared for that well in advance. As strange as it may seem, I'm actually going to have some business travel coming up that week. So I'm going to be gone the first 2 days of the week, probably coming back on Wednesday. It's all a little tentative. It could still change. But I just want to make sure I have that all buttoned off before I'm out of town and then come back for a meeting on the 19th and not be ready. You know?
Right. Okay. So, and your first point, the last time we had the hearing, we had Clark do moderation for it. So he was the moderator for that. Set ground rules. As a matter of fact, the ground rules, I believe, are in that packet that we used. So that would work. Do you want to, how much do you want to be able to do with contacting, like, Steve? I think it sounds like you've done some of that stuff before. And how much do you think we ask Lisa and the town office staff to do?
Do we need to get permission from the school to use all that stuff? Or, you know, do we just talk to Steve and say, hey, bring this stuff over, and he's got the ability to go grab it? I don't know if there's, I mean, I guess I could check with Clark and see if there's a little protocol around that.
Probably want to contact Matt or Mark can do that. If
well,
you don't mind.
Matt's the
I mean,
chair.
I'm actually
right.
texting with Matt right now and
yeah,
some other
talk
stuff.
With Matt.
So.
Yeah, because what did they do for Dennis's memorial service?
That was all your stuff we used.
No, that was some of our stuff, and then Steve brought a bunch of stuff over as well. So
the tables, right?
I'm sorry?
The tables, right, he brought?
He brought tables and chairs.
Right.
Yeah, he brought tables and chairs. Yeah, all those blue chairs were chairs from the school.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I've got Matt Woodrow on a text string right now, so I'll just ask him about getting a hold of that stuff. I've got Steve's contact info so I can coordinate with him. I just want to make sure we're not missing anything else. So all we need are tables, chairs, and I need to make sure the live stream works, but it is only a viewing stream. It's not a I have a question stream.
Correct.
Right.
And, yeah, and are we good with that from a meeting perspective? Is that all we need to provide?
Yes, because we'll do the same thing as town meeting.
Right.
Is that, you know,
you really want to speak, then you got to be there.
Right. Yeah. We'll do the broadcast, but you have to attend. So
legally, all you have to do is hear the audio. So.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And then as of right now, CYA protocol indoors is still masks. So, you know, unless we change something between now and the 19th, we need to set that expectation as well.
Okay. Now, have you cut down to 3 feet distance instead of six between chairs?
We can do that. I mean, normally we're not seating people anyways.
Okay, yeah.
You know, we've got people on bleachers and stuff like that, but, you know, through our basketball season. So we've never really set things up in that six-foot manner other than the other events that we did there for town purposes, but yeah, we can trim it back to the 3 feet.
Yeah, because I think that's going to be acceptable now. And from what I understand, the state requirements are going to be expiring May 9th.
And it's 9th or 7th.
9th or 7th, something
somewhere
like that.
Somewhere, yeah.
And then it's going to be just some recommendations.
Right.
So things, obviously, as you said, things are going to probably be in a state of flux for the next few weeks anyways. So from that standpoint,
yeah,
we'll pay
for
you.
Technically, we're considered like an indoor sports facility.
Right.
So we still have different industry requirements that are kind of put on us. Now, most of those have to do with cleaning. It doesn't necessarily have to do with, I mean, I think it still said something about capacities, but, you know, capacity for our building is, you know, 50% is still 600 some odd people. So,
wow.
You know.
I hope we don't get 600 people.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, if we set up for 100, that's, you know, 75 or 100, I mean, that's going to be way more than enough, I hope.
I don't know.
I know, that's what I hope.
Is it worthwhile to get somebody from the state, if there's anybody from the state that would come to something like that?
For?
Because of Chester Road and Main Street?
that's a really good point, because what I wanted to, I don't know exactly how we would go about this, but I think we should have at least contact, like SNAP or whoever the district supervisor is down here, because I do believe even if they don't come, I think one of the things that we would be looking at from a planning board standpoint is that this is going to have to be reviewed by the state because of Chester Road, Main Street.
Which, when Dennis and I met with them, we told them that they were going to. Now, I don't know if they've done anything about that, but I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. SNAP, he would probably come. I don't know how much authority he's got, but he might have some input.
Yeah, but he might know someone that would be appropriate.
Correct, yeah.
Because, yeah, I know that I was out there the other day, and I know that there is a sight distance problem. Coming around, and those people don't do 35 miles an hour, believe it or not.
No, I don't think anybody in Canada does 35.
One
other quick question. So yep. You're doing all the coordinating with Clark?
As far as the the structure of the meeting?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because we'll do the same thing we did when Al was, because Al was running the meeting at that time when Clark was there. And yep. I can't see any reason to do anything different. He had a nice little system set up in there that he basically said, this is how it's going to go. You can't go on and on talking,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. And under our protocols, there's certain people who can speak in certain order. So, abutters and people that are interested, things like that. So that's why we had the sign-up sheet, too, to see who was going to be there and who was going to speak. So it wasn't going to be a free-for-all of people just getting up there. It was going to be controlled.
So do you want somebody to contact SNAP, or do you want one of us to talk to him, or what?
I don't know him personally. I don't know if you do.
Yeah, I can stop and see him.
So yeah,
I'm trying to take one thing.
I'm also looking at the guy over here who knows him quite well.
You do? Yeah. You want to talk to him?
Okay. I just realized that the Eversource guy who just did the whole 2743 project.
Yeah, I know SNAP well.
Okay.
Before I forget, a quick question. You had told me this before, but what's the right of way on 27 for width?
You only have 8 feet on the fog line. So there was I think it's a 3-rod.
It sounds like more like a 4-rod.
No, this one out here?
No.
No, there's one side, like the side on the fire department, you have 8 feet from the fog line.
Okay.
Now,
what about on the other side, I don't think it's quite 8 feet.
What about 27 up around by Brookstone? You know, where the curve is by the...
That I don't know. We'd have to ask.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out who the person I dealt with. Because it wouldn't be SNAP, but SNAP will know.
Okay, yeah. If you check that, that's just something that I needed for something else that you just reminded me about that, because it was an issue that came up on setbacks on 27.
He got that information.
What's that?
He was given that information, and they said it was by the state 33 feet instead of the 50.
It was how many?
33 instead of the 50.
Width?
The right of way.
Oh, yeah?
It was 33. That would be their right of, their setback, 33 feet instead of the 50. And or 75, depending on how,
it is.
State roads, so 50.
Okay.
If it's not at least town roads, if they're not at least 50 feet, then it's 75 feet back.
Okay, yeah.
Right. But going down 43, it changes.
Yeah.
Because you got the old town
road
right away.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the new, what they started from the, when I was 70s, 60s, but.
Okay.
What's a fog line?
The white line on the edge there, just before the ditch. The one that keeps you from going in the ditch?
Right, yeah.
That's the fog line.
That's what that's called?
Yep. Yeah.
Because in the fog, that's the one you can see.
That's the one you can see, because your lights hit it.
So when you're doing 65 miles an hour down 27, you just look at the white line and don't look ahead?
Run over the deer, the moose, whatever, but stay in a row.
Right.
All right, so we'll get that taken care of. I'll check with Clark as far as getting that moderator set up, things like that, so. Okay. All right. The only other thing that I've got right now under other business is I think we're at a point now with that we should all have in-person meetings here. I think we've gotten to the point now where we're getting things kind of calmed down. And one of the other reasons is that we did have issues with getting plans signed for that last Copart's project. So it was holding things up for quite a while because we had four of us, I think, were able to sign that night. And I like to have the whole board signed on the plans, not just a simple quorum. So I'd like to start doing all of these meetings to be in-person meetings. We'll probably still have the Zoom for the public if they want to hear what's going on, but I feel that it's an obligation that we have from a board standpoint that it is safe for us to meet. We can still do any kind of separation that we need to do or if someone feels comfortable with, but I think it's time that we get back to in-person meetings. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yep. We'll start that with the next meeting. So, all right.
Rob, can you pick me up on the way? You got it, Josh.
Just stand out in front in the little, the little bus shack.
Would you? So you used to staying home, you sold your car?
Okay. The.
Did they say it right, car.
Yeah. So what was the?
It's a car.
It's a car.
Why did I have that in here? Oh, that's why I have that in there, because Al's here. Al is here, and he's one of our reps for Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission, and he did bring in some information that I'll have Lisa scan and just send it out to everybody, but there is a meeting on April 27th, which is next Tuesday?
Yes.
At 11:30 in the morning, if you want to go. There's a meeting agenda, and you can see some of the stuff on the agenda that they're going to be talking about, and if you have an opportunity to go, that's always good. I believe it's a Zoom meeting, yes. Too, so you can do it. You don't have to go into Manchester. And there's a few things that he has as background information in here that they're talking about the rail trails and statewide rail systems, which does affect Candia because we're in that area for the 93 expansion. So they're looking at doing some expansions of the rail, commuter rail from at least from Manchester and maybe even to Concord in there. So there's a bunch of information here that definitely could have some impact on Candia. So I'll have, if you don't mind, Al, I'll keep this and have her do that. Thank you, Lisa. And any updates overall you want to give, Al, on that at this point?
We're here to help any way you can. We can.
Okay, good, good.
I don't know whether Dick wants to say anything about
it. Dick, you want any comments on Southern New Hampshire planning?
I'm here, but I don't have any comments.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Write that down.
Were you going to get a hold of, who was going to get a hold of who's the, I'm sorry, who's the chair now? I'm going to say Sylvia, but it wasn't. At Southern New Hampshire Planning. I was going to give Al Munn a promotion, but it's not Al.
Jeff Moulton from Derry.
Okay, all right. So, do you want to do the contact for that, or do you want me to have Lisa contact Southern New Hampshire Planning? Seeing you're the rep, do you want to contact them just to let them know that Tanglewood or Crowley Woods is back on our agenda and we need comments?
I believe Chester has two representatives. And Mr. Haddock, I think, is a planning board fellow there.
He is, yeah.
And he's always at, he'll be at that meeting next week.
Okay. Well, I think what we need to do is we need to get Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission to weigh in on this project too, like they did back 3 years ago when Sylvia had, in again, in that stuff that I just gave to Lisa, there was like a 2 or 3 page listing of concerns or issues that they saw in there. And I just want to make sure that, one, nothing has changed from that, and two, if they have any other input that would be appropriate for us. So
tomorrow I can take care of that.
Okay, all right. And just have her give Lisa a call, just so that if she needs, they need or he needs a set of plans, we can get a set of plans over to them, because I think we have 4 sets. I think we got a couple extra sets in that. Yeah.
And I don't know that Chester has worked with Southern Hampshire Planning on this title.
On this project?
They are one of the people that are on their list, their butter list.
Yeah, yeah.
So they will be getting a letter.
Okay.
But the impact of us is different than
right.
Chester.
Right. And that's what came out in all of that information in here too. So.
Yeah.
Just so that we're all on the same page.
Yes, exactly. Great, so thank you. All right, anything else under other business from anybody? No? All right, if that's the case, then I am going to adjourn the Candy Planning Board meeting at 7:52.
Motion to adjourn.
You need a motion to adjourn?
Josh just made it.
Yeah, Josh made the motion. Sorry, I wanted to look for a motion at 7:52.
Second. Second.
Okay. Rudy, all in vote. To vote to adjourn, Rudy, yes. Mark?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Josh?
Yes.
And Rob?
Yes.
All right, good. Thank you all.